And Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your presence here among us. We thank you for your word that delights the soul, that gives us instruction in the way of righteousness. And when we couple your word with faith, we experience you in our everyday life. And Lord, I thank you that you have for us a message today, and I pray that this message would inform us of the truth concerning what it means to be a biblical believer. And so, God, I pray that you would just prepare our hearts even now to hear your word, and not only to hear it, but that we would receive it with the intent of obeying it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I titled this morning's message, Are You a Biblical Believer? Are you a biblical believer? For now, let's go ahead and look at Mark's gospel. We'll read verses 14 through the end of the chapter, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the morning's message. Mark's gospel, chapter 16, beginning in verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Now, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew's gospel in preparation, but let me start by asking, are there marks that confirm that you are a biblical believer, or does anything go when it comes to being a follower of Christ? That is to say, if anyone says they believe in Christ, is it genuine just because they say it? I'm sure you've come into encounter with people who've said that they believe in Jesus, but then you observe their life and you think something's not consistent with that profession of faith. Now, we know that anything doesn't go when it comes to being a follower of Christ, although there are many people who just have it in their minds that you can be a follower of Christ and just live however you want. That's not the case. We understand that because Jesus made it very clear when he said these words in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? So Jesus, he points out very specifically that there is a contradiction between some people's profession and their practice, and we've seen that. We've seen that consistently throughout our journey as followers of Christ. And I hope that that is not the case with any of us here, that we profess one thing and live something different, because we understand that that's not pleasing to the Lord. But there's always an opportunity for change. So if that does define you or describe you, right now, as the Holy Spirit brings conviction upon your heart, you could say, God, I'm sorry. I know better. I pray you forgive me. And I'm done. I'm done just saying that I'm a follower and not doing what you say. That'll bless his heart, and that'll bless everyone that knows you heart. Maybe not everyone, but at least those that know the truth and are concerned about your spiritual well-being and care about you. Now, the reason why I'm discussing this morning is because we are having a baptism picnic, and I'm very excited about it. And there are three things that really, when you consider marks of a genuine believer or a biblical believer, there are three things that are consistent. And these are, generally speaking, there are many marks of a genuine believer, but at least these three things you'll see, and I'll explain them as we go through our text. But the first thing is going. If you're a note taker, you can write that down. One of the essential marks of a genuine believer is the fact that they are going. That is, that they are doing something very specifically. We'll see in a second. The second thing is showing. So in addition to going, they are showing. We'll explain that, as I said. And then the last thing is knowing. I try to make things simple because I'm a simple person, and it helps me to have these kind of words just to remember. So what did we say? One, going, showing, and knowing. Three marks that identify a biblical believer. But what do I mean by these things? Well, let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, as Jesus gives us more insight when we consider these ideas. In verse 18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And here he's going to delegate some of that influence to genuine believers. And now he tells them, "Go. Go ye therefore and teach, show all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Know this. "Know that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. So the going aspect, one of the marks of a genuine biblical believer is that in some way, genuine biblical believers are engaged in the work of evangelism. Somehow, some way, and according to your ability. We know that there are some folks that have the gift of evangelism. You ever hang out with a believer that has no problem just walking up to somebody, starting a conversation, and by the end of that conversation has shared the gospel? That always blesses me when I see people that have that. I don't have that ability. Sure, I can walk up to somebody and share, and I've done it. But my knees are shaking, my armpits are sweating. Yes. Disgusting, I know. But anyway, by faith we overcome, because one of the things that the Scriptures does say, for example, Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist, and I wouldn't look at Timothy as an evangelist, but all of us can do the work of an evangelist. All of us know enough about Jesus. If we're born again and we've been in a healthy churches, we know enough to at least share the gospel. And this idea of going for the apostles here, they were to go throughout the world, and it took years. It didn't happen overnight. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that they would be witnesses, and that's really, in our journey of faith, that's what we want to do. We want to be witnesses of Jesus. And as we are witnesses of Jesus, not only with our lives, not only being lights, but also with our lips, communicating the gospel. This is what God has called all of us to do, if we are biblical believers, is to go and to share it. And with these disciples, they were starting out in Jerusalem, then Judea, and they kept spreading out, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world, which this took, and you can track this in the book of Acts, about 40 years. Paul tells us that they had evangelized the known world in his day, and the book of Acts, again, covers about a 40-year period of time. So when Jesus said, go, they took it serious, And with the Holy Spirit working in them and with them, they did evangelize. And we are also called to evangelize. It's one of the marks of a genuine believer. Now, how does that look? Well, for some of us, it might be on the day-to-day basis at work and you're ministering to a coworker. Could be a family member in your home. Could be a neighbor. It could be going on the mission field. It could be instead of that casual approach, which I think is probably the most effective. Let me ask you, how many of you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because you developed a relationship with a believer and over time you made a commitment to Christ? How many of you, how many of you went to a crusade and you got saved at a crusade? So you see what's more effective, right? Now, whether you're for or against crusades or not, that is something that I don't want to get into. But God does use many different means to reach people, and we are to be engaged in that process. So are you a biblical believer? Are you sharing your faith with others? Hey, today we're going to have an opportunity at the baptism picnic, because after the baptism picnic, Sean and there's others that are committed to going out and just sharing the faith. And if any of you want to join, Sean, this young, fine-looking man here, he raised his hand. I don't want to embarrass you, but I think I already have, and forgive me. You can hang out with him after the baptism and go out and share your faith. It'll be a great opportunity for you. But anyway, the second thing is a mark of a biblical believer is that they are showing. So it's not just evangelism, but it's also discipling, engaged in the process of discipling. Now this idea of showing, we're going to break it up and look at it in three different ways. You know, it's important to teach the things of Jesus, and we're going to see that in this aspect. But it's been said it's good to have a Paul in your life, that is someone that's discipling you or investing in you, and it's also good to have a Timothy in your life, someone that you are investing in. That keeps a person very, very healthy, someone you're accountable to, and someone that, in a sense, is accountable to you. You check in on them, see how they're doing spiritually. Do you have a Paul? You don't have to answer this, but do you have a Paul or a Timothy in your life? And if not, what changes can you make so that you can get more in harmony with what it looks like to be a biblical believer? Who can you find that you can say, hey, I'd like to, even if it's once a week or once a month, just kind of stay in contact with you, and I see that you are a mature believer, and I really would like to maybe be mentored. Now, I have a lot of folks that I'm doing that with on a regular basis, and some of you may say after service, hey, Pastor, can we stay in contact? And I have a lot of folks. So maybe you could find some other folks in the church. I'm not saying no, but I'm not the only source here. Mingle with the body. Get to know more people and make those connections with people here if you can, or just someone maybe that's outside of the body that's a mature believer. But in addition to that, why not try to find somebody that you can start investing in? And that person's like a Timothy. Maybe you might want to start in the children's church teaching, or you might want to start in some kind of activity, making yourself available, and just trust and see and pray, seek the Lord as to who. Lord, bring a Timothy in my life. Bring someone that I can invest in. Start there. God will answer that prayer. There is no doubt about it, because these are marks of genuine believers, of biblical believers. We are engaged in the process of discipleship, whether we are discipling or we are being discipled. We are engaged in this process. And so we talk about showing, we talk about teaching and investing in others. And then baptized, baptism. That's another part of the showing. As I said, we're looking at showing in three different aspects. So there's the idea of discipling, but the idea of baptism, that is a showing too. It's a public demonstration of an inward reality. And so if you have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, that is, you've understood the gospel, Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. He is the Savior. We recognize that we are sinners. We've made a commitment to Christ. We've repented from our sins and we've turned to Jesus and asked him to forgive us because he was crucified for our sins. And through faith in him and his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. So we who've made a true commitment to Christ, if you haven't been baptized, then that is the next thing that you should do in obedience to Christ. Now, is baptism a prerequisite for salvation? No. Baptism is something that we do as a result of being saved in obedience to Christ as a public show or demonstration, not show like a horse and pony show, but a public witness, a public demonstration that we are identifying our lives with Christ all the days of our lives. Amen. And so another mark of a genuine believer is that they are baptized. The other last part of the showing aspect is what Jesus said about observing. This is the lifelong process of learning and understanding the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I might have alluded to it earlier, but look at what Jesus said here in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things, not some things, but all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So it's in Jesus' heart, so important, as he's the one who has all authority. He's the one that we're going to have to give an account to on the day that we die. But he loves us. He loves us. And because he loves us, he wants us to understand everything that he has commanded, everything that he has taught. And so this is a part of the lifelong process of being a biblical believer, is that we're engaged in learning, constantly growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's interesting because that word observe, it has the idea with it, if you look it up in the original language, to keep an eye on, to keep an eye on. And it's illustrated in these ways: one, to guard from loss or injury, or properly to keep the eye upon. In other words, keep your eyes on my word, keep your eyes on my commandments, my teachings, guard yourself, make sure that you keep your focus on the things that I've commanded so you don't suffer loss or any injury by getting led astray. It could mean several different things like that. But the focus is to keep your eyes on my word. Keep my word in your sight constantly. Filter everything that you see, everything that you do with my word. Because by doing so, by keeping an eye on my word, you'll protect yourself from getting injured or suffering loss. Let me ask you, how many of you, as believers, you have been hurt and then realized that, you know, I could have prevented this if I just would have kept my eyes on Jesus? How many of you have gone through some very, very difficult things, but you kept your eyes on the Word of God, you kept your eyes in the Word of God and on Jesus the whole time, and even though it was hard, you grew from it. He strengthened you. You don't feel like you suffered loss. On the contrary, you felt like his presence was there with you, constantly helping you through it. Isn't that a wonderful experience? And yet, Some of us, we forfeit it because we don't keep our eyes on the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, he intended for us to live, as he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. And so a mark of a biblical believer is not only a profession, not only are they learning, but they are observing. They are engaged in growing and putting God's word into practice on a consistent and regular basis. And now the last thing, knowing. Look what he said in verse 20 again. He says, lo, or we could say no, not N-O, but K-N-O-W. No, I am with you always. Man, that blesses my heart. Because let's face it, we all understand that life can be hard. And to be a biblical believer is not easy. Especially in this world and in this country, as how many of you have seen the digression of this country, the morals and the values? Some of us older folks, we've seen it. And it's getting tougher and tougher to be a Christian because there's a greater hostility towards us, isn't there? So it's challenging. It could be tough. And then you've got that constant battle within, right? You're trying to do what's right, but you have that sinful nature. Then there's the adversary of the soul, and you're trying to grow in the Word of God, and he's always there to condemn you and make you feel this. So the point of it is, it can be hard. It could be hard to share our faith. It could be challenging to show, to disciple others. But when we know that the Lord is with us, that certainly does encourage us and strengthen us to do what God has commanded us to do. So important to know that the Lord is with us. Now listen, I was studying, and as I was, I was just... Something took my attention as I thought about this idea of I am with you. Jesus said, I am with you here to these disciples, but he said it to other folks as well throughout the scriptures. I'm just going to point out three different places. One, he said it to Isaac. Another, he said it in regards to the children of Israel. And then another, he said it to Paul in the New Testament. I draw your attention to where he said, I am with you in Genesis chapter 26, verse 24. And what struck me is the words that came along with it. Each time, I'm sure you'll see, and if you don't, you know I'm going to point it out for you anyway. So, in Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, it says, and the Lord appeared to him, that is Isaac, the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. I am with you. I love that. Do not fear. I am with you. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where he's talking to the nation of Israel, and he says, fear not, for I am with you. Doesn't that just bless your heart? And then look at Acts chapter 18, verse 9. In Acts 18, 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. Did you see something pretty consistent? Whenever he said, I am with thee in these verses, what did you see that was consistent? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand that. I need an interpreter. What's that? Do not fear. I'm with you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. What do you think is a pretty consistent problem among biblical believers? We battle with fear, don't we? We battle with fear doing God's will. That's a very normal thing, to battle with fear. Maybe some of you, the idea of being baptized, you're afraid.
for whatever reason, you're afraid. And so in your mind, you're thinking, I'm not going to do it. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Be obedient. Be afraid not to obey the Lord. Today's an opportunity for you to be baptized. And so if you have no reason, which biblically I don't see that you don't have a reason, that you have a reason to not be baptized. Maybe today you have some plans or whatever, but you have not been baptized and your plans didn't go through as you thought, and maybe you got the time and you could go. You should go and you should be baptized. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. You know, when I was baptized, I was baptized in a pool, and it was a wonderful experience, and I'll never forget. We were in Spencerport, and I was baptized as a kid, but I don't remember that. And that really, when I became born again, I realized that I wanted to be baptized as knowing what I was doing. I had made a commitment to Christ. And so maybe some of you might be thinking, well, I was baptized as a kid. I don't need to be baptized. No, if you've made a commitment to Christ, you didn't even recall any of that. You should make that decision to be baptized today. But anyway, I was baptized, and I just felt, I was so blessed in that process of being baptized, and I just, I'll never forget how the Holy Spirit just came upon me and ministered to me in such a profound and powerful way. Just so wonderful. So wonderful. Now I'm just sharing, I was baptized as an adult, and how the Spirit of God ministered to me. It was in a pool. There was a bunch of strangers there. You know, there's that sense of being afraid. And we're going to the beach, and we're going to do it in public. And some of you might be afraid, but don't be afraid. Enough said about that. All I can do is just encourage you is to not be afraid. Maybe some of you, you feel a call from God to go, and you battle. Maybe there's someone at work that the Holy Spirit's been ministering to you and prompting you to share your faith with that individual or with that neighbor, and you've been afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. Go. Or maybe today, as I was sharing, you are thinking, there's really no good reason why I can't start making myself available to invest in others. I need to now start investing. But you're afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For the Lord is with you. Maybe you have a situation that's completely unrelated to these things, and you're afraid as you're facing it. Don't be afraid. Because the Lord is with you, and He loves you. Now, this morning, if you're here and if you haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, that's the most important step you must make. Make that commitment to Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid. Because the life in Christ is so much greater. And His thoughts towards you are good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Don't be afraid to trust Him. And you can make a commitment to Jesus right now. If you from your heart just say, Lord, forgive me. I acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner. I pray you forgive me and wash me and cleanse me. Have mercy on me and give me your Holy Spirit. I commit my life to you. I want to live for you and for your purposes. Use my life. You turn from your sin, yourself, and you turn to Christ, and He will forgive you. He will set you free from the bondage of sin. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness, the truth that sets us free. Lord, we thank you that you have made it very clear what the essential marks of a biblical believer are. We are engaged in the process of sharing our faith. We're going. We're also engaged in teaching and investing in others. We're showing. We're in that process. And Lord, we also are knowing that you're with us, and we do not have to fear. As you've commanded us to go and to show, we don't have to fear because you're with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.